does it work?
Okay. Okay, so we're doing a sugya, a brachos, daf nun on the base. Okay. And where we're headed towards is understanding the, I guess, there's a lot of problems in this sugya, but what got me interested in it is the shita of the Rosh. And not only it's the shita of the Ramah, actually, which is that if you take a drink of water, or a drink of anything, and you put it in your mouth, and you realize that you didn't make a bracha, what you do is you swallow it, and then you say the bracha. Okay? You swallow it, and then you say the bracha. After you ate. Bracha Rishona is this. Okay? You say the shakal after you swallow. Even if you don't have any other water. You just swallow the thing and make a shakal.
This is if...
If you realize you forgot to make a bracha before you did it, and that's what you do. Swallow it and make a shakal. Okay? And we'll start. And it's a strange... brachos. It's a strange halacha. How can you make a bracha rishona after you ate? Right? It's just against everything you know. Right? Or, for instance, it's asar to eat without making a bracha, right? You're not allowed to eat without making a bracha. So how do you swallow this thing without making a bracha? Because you made a bracha afterwards? Okay, it's very nice afterwards, but you have no right to eat without making a bracha. Okay, so these are that's, I guess, a motivational question here, which hopefully will end up, end up understanding. Okay, so let's. So in order to proceed, I mean, we're headed for that rush, but let's go in the sugya regular. Okay, so the Gemara says it's Nunam and Beis at the bottom, two dots. So it says Amar of Yehuda. Shachach with nesoch nesoch pev lo bracha. So if you forget and you put food in your mouth without making a bracha, misalkan letzarecha remevarech. Okay, you move it to one side and you make a bracha. Okay, you put it in your cheek or whatever and you make a bracha. Okay, we're talking about bracha rishona. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. Shakal, for instance. Okay, tarecha dabolon. So that's basically what Yehuda says. But the braces, we have a few braces. One brace says you swallow it. Tanya idach polton, and a different brisa says you spit it out. Tanya idach misalkan, another brisa says you move it to the side. Three different options, three different brisas, all say different halachas. Are they arguing? No. Gemara says lo kasha. It's not a kasha. Hod the Tanya bolon. This which is the brisa which says you swallow it. B'mashkin. It's talking about by liquids. By liquids you swallow. We had the Tanya Polton, and this is as you spit it out. The midi de lo mimis. So that means it isn't disgusting. It's not going to be disgusting to spit it out. Let's say, I don't know, a pretzel. Before you chew it, you put it in your mouth and you just spit it out.
Nowadays, though, if.
Like a lollipop.
Yeah, okay, good. Like a lollipop, for instance. That's a good example. You have a lollipop, so you put a lollipop in your mouth, and you realize you make a bracha, so you just take it out. Okay. We heard the Tanya Misalkan, and this word just says that you move it to the side, the midi de mimis. It's something which is disgusting. Okay? So let's say a chewed up pretzel. Okay, you're in the middle of chewing a pretzel, and then you realize, oh, you forgot to make a bracha. So you're going to spit it out. It's disgusting. Right? So then you just move it to the side of your mouth, and you make the bracha. Right? The point is, by liquids, you can't really do that. Because by liquids, they're going to fall out.
They're
not going to be able to talk, and so if you could take it out, no problem, take it out. If it's going to be disgusting, just spit it out and move it to the side of your mouth. If it's a liquid and you can't have that option, so then you swallow it. Then you move to the side of your mouth. And presumably, whereas the liquid has two things. It's disgusting, but you don't have the moving to the side of your mouth option because it's going to fall out. You can't really make a bracha while things on the side of your mouth unless you lean. But whatever. Probably let's say you can't do that. Okay? So therefore, you swallow it. Now, the problem is going to be, okay, it's very nice that you can't spit it out. It's disgusting. You can't move it inside of your mouth. So now, what gives you a right to swallow it? Why not just say, spit it out? That's it. You can't do it. You have to make a bracha. You have to make a bracha. Right? You're not allowed to have anah without making a bracha. So now, what, you just swallow it? How do you swallow it?
Well,
I'm not from this world without a bracha. But I mean, that's the problem. Also, then I swallow it without a bracha. You're not allowed to have pleasure from this world without making a bracha. You have to make a bracha. Now, what do? You have some nice, juicy, let's say, grape juice. or wine, you have it in your mouth, it's a yummy wine, you want to swallow it. And you realize you have to make a bracha, so what do? You just swallow it anyway. So now you have your noah. No bracha. How do you do that? I mean, the Rishon, I'm just asking this, but the Rishon deal with this. This is the problem, I guess, in the sugya here. Okay? This is something that has to be explained. The other ones aren't so hard to understand, because, look, if it's not disgusting, then you just take it out of your mouth. That makes perfect sense to us. If it's disgusting, you can't spit it out, so you move it to the side of your mouth. That also makes sense. You move it inside your mouth. What's the problem with that? You know, why can't you do it, make a breath, move it inside your mouth? Right? This is the one which presents difficulty. Is how do you just swallow it without making a bracha? Okay, but we don't have to come up with answers. We shouldn't deal with this. I'm just proposing it. If you read the Gemara, that's the one thing which should stand out.
It sounds like Rashi's saying.
Okay, let's see Rashi here. Rashi says, "Bolon v'lo bracha." So he says, by the liquid, you swallow without making a bracha. Okay? So he says, hopefully without a bracha. Okay? Poltan u'mevarech v'chozer ochot. So he spit it out. It means then he spit it out and throw it. Yeah, you spit it out, you make a bracha, and then you eat it again, because it's not disgusting. Mashkin bolan. It's impossible to move it to one of your cheeks. Ulavarach, for the poltan in order to spit it out from Hasidon, because you're going to destroy it. So that's not possible. That's not possible, so therefore you just swallow it with that bracha. But what do you mean? It's Iyafshar. I mean, so Mimafsar. Why is that Iyafshar? Right, I mean, it's true. It sounds like Rashi's holding, which is kind of what you're suggesting is that you just can't do that. It's not possible you're going to destroy it. But why not? I mean, look, you have to make a bracha, and I'm making a bracha, so you're being mafsed. Okay, so be mafsed. What's your other option? Right? It sounds like Rashi's trying to explain that somehow. Okay, fine. Poltan b'midi d'lo mimes. Rashi says, b'mash nasan piv yechalach z'olacho. So you spit it out, it's not disgusting, and then you could just go and read it. Okay, so the Gemara asks like this. Okay, so the Gemara says on top of the page, "B'midi d'lo mimes nami is okay on sarach olavar." Even if it's not disgusting, let's say a lollipop, so just move it to the side of your mouth, make a bracha. Why you chai Rashi? Long live the pole gun. Let's look at sarach olavar. What do you have to spit it out for? Why not just put it in one side of the cheek? It's annoying to take it out. You want it in your mouth. So why do I have to take it out? It's not disgusting, but what's the point? If I can make the bracha with the thing inside my mouth. And you make it with the mouth. Could you make brachas with something on the side of your mouth or not? Who cares if it's disgusting? Should be allowed. Should always be able to do that. But it's not the halacha. It's saying is you chayev to take it out. So the Gemara says, "Tirgum Rav Yitzchak kas kesa'a kamei de Rav Yosi bar Avin mishmei de Rav Yochanan mishum shenem are yimale pi tehilo sacha." Your mouth should be full. Should fill your mouth with with your praise. Okay? So what does that mean? Your mouth should be full with your praise. What's the idea? Okay, there shouldn't be anything else in your mouth when you praise. Okay, but what's the idea? Why? Okay, so Morris says is that your mouth should only be involved in praise. Is that it's like, so to speak, you're in a certain sense, like you're distracted. So like if you're doing something, if you're, here's another example, if like you're helping your parent do something, they wouldn't want you listening to your music while you're doing it, you know? Take the headphones out of your ears and help me out. The idea is like to be involved in, involving in yourself in two things, so to speak, takes away from the other one. So the thing is that if while you're making the bracha, your mouth, you're involved in the pleasure, in the eating experience, you have the food in your mouth, so then it's like the person is not fully engaged. Their mouth isn't fully engaged in the shabbat. Right, so it means you should be fully involved in the shabbat. And if you have the same mouth which is involved in the shabbat is involved in has the food in his mouth, that takes away. Oh, okay. So what we say? So you ask? Okay, fine. So if it's if you have to be fully involved in the shabbat, so then even if it's going to get disgusting, so you should spit it out. Yeah, okay, so the simplest thing to say, I think, without getting so specific, is like what Morris is suggesting, is it's a chil v'diavad. It doesn't mean it's usur. It doesn't mean it's usur to eat something with, to make a bracha with a half mouth. It's not an isur, it's just that it's a greater shavach insofar as you're fully engaged with the thing. It's a greater shavach. So if you have the option, it's a lollipop, and you have the option, you might as well do it. So you chayav to do it. Chayav to give the greater shevach. Why not? It's a greater shevach. But if the only way to do that is to spit it out, it's going to be disgusting. So you're not chayav to do that. Not chayav to do that. Right? You could say is who's that? Yeah, I saw this. I saw the Ari Bleicher. He added the additional point is that maybe it's even better. Is like it would, to give shevach on a disgusting thing is a lack in the shevach also. You know what I mean, it's like there's the shevach involves two things. There's the gavra's involved in the shevach, and then there's that which you may give the shevach on. So if you're going to spit it out and then make the bracha on this disgusting stuff, that itself is going to be a deficient shevach. Right? So your whole point, the whole idea is you want to be fully engaged in the shevach, but the full shevach experience involves not only the gavra's involvement, but involves the chafta. So that's really like a contradiction to the shevach, to give it on a disgusting thing. So he says, you're better off, do the bracha on the thing, you're now 100% engaged in it, but at least you're giving shevach on the thing which isn't disgusting. And I guess the Yudas says choose. Apparently just to spit it out, and I think this is what you meant, to spit out and throw it out and throw it in the garbage, is that what you're talking about? That's like not even an option, it seems, right, just to spit it out and throw it out. It seems like you're not allowed to do that. Look, you're eating the thing, there's no halacha you can't eat it. The question is, you want to give shevach in the best possible way, but you're allowed to eat it, there's no halacha, it's like also to eat the thing. It's just that you want to give shevach in the best possible way. Actually, maybe that's actually what Rashi means also earlier. Is that the halacha of bracha is not an isser, it's not a really an isser to eat food. The halacha is you're chayiv to give shevach insofar as you're eating. And it's like you're not allowed to avoid the shevach.
That would explain the Rosh.
But not the Rosh, yeah, hold on. And so Rashi says, so maybe he holds, there's no halacha, like when it says asr al-aloman al-zabal al-bracha, it doesn't mean it's like an isser to have the hana. It means is you're chayiv to make a bracha. So it's asr to eat without bracha, to like ignore the din of the bracha. That would be like a denial of the shevach. You're not allowed to eat like that. So if you have the option, that's why you always have to give the best shevach. And so far as you're eating, you have to give the shevach, and you have to give the best way. You don't have to not eat. It's not like you don't eat. The halacha is that insofar as you're eating, you should proceed with shevach. But if it's not possible to proceed with shevach, because look, if I spit it out, like the liquid, spit it out, then we can destroy it. And there's nothing there. So I'm not going to be able to eat it. Right? If it would be taken out disgusting, now it also, that's disgusting. It's not going to be, it's not shevach on something disgusting. Right? It seems like you're not even going to be able to drink it again. Seems like that no one's going to drink that again. Right? And to put it on the side, you're not going to be able to make a bracha. So basically you're in a situation where you simply can't make a bracha. So you have a food, so the halacha, the isser, the halacha is that, yeah, insofar as you're eating, you have to make a bracha, but here it's like an anus, so I can't make a bracha, so there's no isser, there's no intrinsic isser to eat it. Just the halacha is that this is the way you have to eat it, that your eating should be preceded by shevach, but if I can't, so then I can't. Right? Like halacha is, there's no option like that, so what are we going to do? But you don't really think of it as like isser. It's not like an isser, like the lav. Don't eat food without a bracha. Rather, it's really a chiyuv. It's an asai. You chayv to make a bracha. So far as you eat, you chayv to make a bracha. So to eat it when ignoring the bracha is a pagam. It's like a that's the isser. To eat it with eating with ignoring the bracha. But if you're eating it and there's simply no option of bracha because all the roots are closed off to you, then that's it. There's no violation. It's not the isser. That's not the isser. It's to deny bracha. Yeah, that's not what you're doing, because look at the liquid, it's in your mouth, you don't have an option, spit it out, you'll destroy it. It's out of your mouth, you can't do it, so look at that, you swallow it. But by a food, so if it's not disgusting, you have to take it out, give the highest shevach. If it's disgusting, so then the highest shevach is going to be to keep it in your mouth, even though you're lacking a little bit because it's not your LIP, but at least it's on the best object.
I have a question though.
What's wrong with that? No. Yeah, I don't have a problem with the fact that it's a bracha, because it means without making a bracha.
Right.
It's like you're not allowed to eat and then not make a bracha. So it's not, there's a point, there is a form of this asr thing, because it's not just like a positive thing. See, I think the idea of asr is like, if I don't take a lulav, I'm not doing an asr. But I'm not doing it like a negative. But if I eat and I just say, I don't want to make a bracha, I'm just hungry. and I want to enjoy myself. And so that's like a negative, because you're engaging in the instinctual and denying the Abraha, you know? So that's like, it's not just that you're not doing something, it's a negative experience. But if I can't make a bracha, I can't make a bracha. Right. It reminds me of, very reminiscent of the Rav's, I think it's the Rav's thing about it. You know, the minhag is fast on Erev Pesach for firstborns, right? So and the minhag is that if you don't, unless you have a siyum, right? We have a siyum. I know one really fast. So you have a siyum, you go to a siyum, and then you eat after the siyum. So the question is, let's say I'm in a town where there is no siyum, right? I say I'm in a town and I can't find any siyum. What do I do? Right? Why sleep light? So do I have to fast in the chatzos? So you'd say, of course you do. Right? Kind of question is that. Then I'd say, do you know anyone who ever did that? No. So the Rav said, I think it's the Rav, he said, you don't have to. Because he says, the minhag was not to fast. The minhag was that you break your fast through a siyum. I mean, like the way that you, that the siyum is the matir of your achila. That was the minhag. But there, no one has ever took on the minhag. It's a niyog. No one ever took on the niyog of fasting. The niyog is that's how you break your fast. So but if there is no siyum, yes. If there's no siyum, there's no siyum. So then you can't do the minhag. It's an anus. But there's no then you're not fulfilling the minhag by then fasting. The minhag is fulfilled through breaking your fast through the siyum, and not just eating, not preempting that. But if there is no siyum, so then you simply can't do the minhag this year. You're not accomplishing the minhag by fasting until chatzos. That wasn't the minhag. The minhag is that you break it. Right, you break it through the siyum. Confusing that with Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, correct that. Not Rosh Hashanah. Not until chatzos. The whole day. So make the fast, and not do the fast through the siyum. Okay, but again, that's what he's something to say. Because I think it has to do with the nature of minhag. He's holding, it's not like, I'm not sure if he's saying that if there are halacha like that. If there are halacha, then the issue would be a taina, so it's set up an issue of achila. But he's saying it's a minhag. The minhag was, what was the custom? There was no custom of fasting. No one ever did that. The custom is that you don't eat until your matir for eating is the siyum. It's similar to what I'm saying, because it's not a negative halacha. It's not an issur. There's no minhag of an issur. There's a minhag of a positive, that your matir for eating is the siyum. But if you can't do siyum, then you can't do siyum. So I'm saying the same thing here. It's not like an issur to eat without a bracha. It's a positive halacha, that you're chayav to make a bracha, and you're not allowed to eat unless you do that. Right? But that's, the issur stems from the chayav. But if it's an anas on the chayav, so then there's no issur. There is, because you're negating the chiyuv bracha. But here you're not negating the chiyuv bracha. The chiyuv bracha is impossible because you have no way of accomplishing it, because it's spitting it out, it'll destroy the food, and I can be able to eat it all together. And that's not a method of eating. And you can't make the bracha with it in the side of your mouth because it looks good, it's going to fall out. So that's it, there's no option. Right, and I think in the food, and the spitting out thing is disgusting, and that's good. As what Ari says, because the Shabbach itself is going to be lacking if it's disgusting food. But that's worse than having it on the side of your mouth. Because there it's on a disgusting thing. At least here you're giving Shabbat, so you're not fully engaged. Okay, why you're doing it. Because we're saying, I'm asking a question on Mars. Mars is saying, the Svara is, I think with Mars, right? He said, the idea is that you should be fully involved in the Shabbat. So if you have something in your mouth, that's like distracting from the Shabbat. So that's the whole thing. In Ali P, you should be totally involved. So my question is, so let's say you're, you're playing on your Wii while you're giving Shabbat, while you're saying a bracha. Some other activity. Oh no, DS. I'm sorry, I correct that, the DS. You're playing on your DS while you're making a bracha.
No.
Right, so that's the question, is it the same thing? Is it the same thing? Why is it Rally P.T. stuff? It sounds like it's something in your mouth. But by this logic, you'd say you shouldn't be able to do an activity when you're giving Shabbat either. So let me take a few steps here before you get there. So one thing I think you should say is like ein hachanami, and you shouldn't make a bracha while you're doing it, while you're playing your diyas. Okay?
While
you're playing with something. Okay? Because that lacks. If you're doing another activity, then of course you shouldn't give shabbat. What kind of shabbat is that? The guy was not involved in the shabbat. But I think that's partial. But here it's a different thing. Here you're not doing anything. You just have the food in your mouth. It's not like, of course, if you're chewing and eating and whatever, that's not what the... No one's not entertaining you should keep eating and make the bracha while you're eating. It's saying put it inside your mouth. So you're not doing anything. You're not involved in an activity. You just have it in your mouth. That would be... The analogous question would be if you're holding something. So you're not making a bracha while you're holding your DS in your hand. Or you're holding something in your hand. A ball. Right? I don't think anyone... I've never heard of that. Because you're holding a ball. Big deal. You're holding a ball. You're not playing with the ball. I am saying you shouldn't juggle while you're holding a, you know.
You're not allowed to make a bracha while holding something. That means you're not allowed to make a bracha.
You have to put down whatever you're holding. But there's an halacha like that for davening. You can't be holding something while you're davening. There's an halacha that you can't make a bracha while you're holding something. I understand to hold something. I remember Rebbe said once, you should make a bracha while you're doing something. Like maybe, like, if you make a bracha while you're like wrapping up your tefillin or something, you know, like you shouldn't do that. Because it lacks the shavach. You're like straight and involved in the thing.
So what if
you... But here you're not doing something, it's just in your mouth. So that's why I think it's saying Yimali Piti Lasacha is saying is that your mouth should be fully involved in the shavach. But what kind of idea is that? So Morristar says, yeah, but it's your mouth that's the thing which is giving the shavach. So since your mouth is giving the shavach, so therefore your mouth shouldn't be involved in something in it. Right? Because you'll be fully involved in the thing. But my question is, yeah, but it's like your mouth and your mouth, different parts of your mouth. It's like your vocal cords and then it's just your mouth. Like what exactly is the... Like it kind of sounds like that's the right direction to say, but I feel like it needs something more. You know what I mean? But my point is not so much to get into that question about doing other activities, but I think the point is that Yimali Piti Lasacha sounds like it's saying is your mouth, you should be fully engaged in the Sheva. So since with your mouth, since your mouth is making the bracha, so therefore you shouldn't also be involved in having something in it. But like, what does that mean? Your mouth isn't giving the bracha, you're making the bracha. So like, what does that mean? Because you're making the bracha with your mouth, so therefore you shouldn't have something in your mouth? Just sounds a little, a little bit of a stretch. So now, so Chaim wants to say, uses that because you're gonna mumble a little bit, right? That's kind of what you're saying?
Right.
So you're not gonna be able to pronounce it properly. So that's, I think you definitely could say that, but I'll tell you, what's the problem on that? You could say it means, you should enunciate in your Shabbat, which is certainly true. Your Shabbat will be better if you enunciate. If you have something inside your mouth, then you're not going to enunciate, and that's why it's saying you're not allowed to do it, because it's going to affect your Shabbat. It's not going to be a good Shabbat. Well, is there a question on that? Okay, so here's the only thing is that if you say, I think Akasha, I don't know what I'm saying, which maybe we can answer it, but is by that logic, you should, let's say you could do it, and it won't affect them. You won't mumble. Which certainly seems impossible. I mean, you could argue, but it would seem, let's say you have a little tiny thing, you're eating a peanut, you put it inside your mouth and you make the bracha. I mean, I don't think it's going to audibly affect the bracha. Now, you could argue anachnami, so you're allowed to do it with the thing in your mouth, with the peanut inside your mouth. You know, you don't have to spit it out. But it doesn't seem that way. It seems like you're chayav to spit out. You want to pitel sechem, you should be fully involved. I mean, you could argue. I'm not saying you can't argue the fact and say that you don't have to, but it seems to be that it's across the board that when you have the thing, it's better to take it out. So it doesn't seem to be only because of the mumbling. Okay, so Chai says maybe like this, is that that you're right. Practically speaking, you can work out a case. But for instance, just to give an example, you wouldn't go in front of the president and talk with him while he's like with a gum in your mouth. Why? Because, look, you could work it out that you'll be able to manage to get out a good sentence without it affecting the thing. But it could be wrong. Like you definitely could practice and whatever, but in general, when something's important to you, you want to clear your mouth out, you know, dry out your mouth, whatever it is, clear your mouth out of anything that's in there, and then talk. If you're a play or you're giving a public speech, you're not going to go up there with a little piece of gum in your cheek. I can speak perfectly without it, it doesn't matter, right? But you know, your speech teacher or whatever is never going to go for that. Because, you could, but every so often, and Shevach, that's saying, Yimali Piti Lasach, it means that Shevach is a, take it as a very serious activity, even Shevach Hashem, and you should use the utmost level of speech possible. And the highest speech, the most clearest, the most dedicated speech is where you fully dedicate your mouth to take it away from the other activities and you involve yourself in the speech. So insofar as there's something else in your mouth, it takes away. Even though you could work out a case where you're going to be able to do it better, but you don't mess around with things like this. It's an important thing, you don't mess around. it's a public speech and you're getting whatever and your career depends on it, in a job interview, you're not going to mess around. I probably are going to be able to speak properly. It's just not the way you do it. Now look, you could, that's what he's saying. It's not also if you don't have another choice because, for instance, the food's going to be disgusting, and that's what you do. It's not saying he's not shevach, but the highest shevach is where you might be, where you're fully engaged in the thing. And it's and you're totally in terms of speech. That's the way that you speak. But it doesn't mean like if you're holding something, you may do a public speech while you're holding some ball in your hand. And why not? I mean, you would do it while you're juggling, while you're doing an activity. But if you're holding something, okay, big deal. What does holding something have anything to do with the speech? It doesn't have anything to do with it. But your mouth is your mouth, and it is because it's your mouth, but not because like conceptually mouth is your mouth. It's because they get like what I was saying that it affects it, but not. Not only if it actually affects it, it's the concept of the thing. That makes sense. Right? That makes sense. And then we should Achronim say, this is actually good. Achronim bring that, some of what I think, is that if you, therefore you see, you should make a bracha, you should enunciate it properly. You know, but it doesn't mean if you could put it, keep it in your mouth and enunciate it properly, then it's okay to keep it in. I think still you can't. But it's based upon that idea. Kol Shekein, you should try to enunciate it properly. Should just make a bracha in a manner which is improper. You should spell it out. Okay, good. I mean, that's what cause it will affect it. It'll affect it. If there's no phenomenon that your mouth, that something in your mouth ever affected speech, there's no such thing like that, then I would say it wouldn't make any sense. Just because it happens to
be
your
mouth. I would say it would.
Okay, good. Further. So now the Gemara asks like this. It says, "Boi." This is where it gets interesting. "Boi mei rav chista misha achal b'shasav alo birech mahu shiachsav beivarech." So let's say you made a bracha and you ate or drank and you didn't make a bracha. Now could you remake a bracha? Or could you make a bracha now again? Okay.
Wait, what's the case?
So you ate and you were in the middle of eating. Let's say you took a bite, you swallowed, it's all over. Right? You finished eating. Okay, let's say you're in the middle of a meal and you took a few bites. So now do you now make a bracha? You already finished eating? You finished this bite. You took your bite, it's not still in your mouth, it's swallowed. Now do you make a bracha?
Well, is there more food to eat?
Let's say yes. Okay, it's a good question here. One second, that's fine. Okay, so there's a different gersas here, but if you look here, like a Rashi, Misha Khalu Shasav Lo Birich, Lifneyan Goy. So talking about the bracha rishona, a little bit of bracha b'nei. Then it says Moshe Yachzar. So here it says Ba'achar Achil Rishia, but the little bit the gra changes it to Be'emtza Achil Rishia. Kain Tzarech Lo Ryan Rasha. So we're gonna go with that. The Rasha says it means you're in the middle of your meal, in the middle of Achil Rishia, in the middle of your meal, but you forgot to make a bracha. You take a bite, you take your first bite of bread, you swallow it, and you say, oh, didn't make a bracha. Do you now make a bracha? Okay, do you not make a bracha on the next bite of bread?
Why not?
So that's what he said. Now, Madol, Misha Achol Shum, Vreichon Odef, if someone ate garlic and his breath smells, Yachzor V'Yachol Shum Acher, could they say Vreichon Odef? Is he going to eat more garlic so his breath will smell even more? In other words, just because you didn't make a bracha on the first bite of bread, so now you're going to not make a bracha on the next bite of bread? Or will you make things worse? Might as well, why not? Right? I mean, that's what he's saying. What kind of crazy question is that? Right? It's funny, he did ask it, but whatever. Right? So he says back to him, he says, I'm a Ravina, Hokach, by that logic, even if you finish your meal, not only in the middle of the meal, even if you finish it, you should make a bracha. Why? That doesn't sound like it follows, right? The Tanya, Kotaval Ve'ala, if you go in the mikvah and you get up, let's learn this is talking about a ger. Okay, there's different ways pshat in here, but let's say it's a ger. A ger can't make him a bracha of asher shalom al tefillah before he goes in the mikvah. Why?
It's
not chayim mitzvah. He's a guy. So Omar Bali Yasa, when he comes up, baruch asher shalom al tefillah. Right? So he makes it afterwards. So you see, you can make a bracha not only before, but after. So too, if you're telling me that you can make a bracha on this food after your first bite, and in the middle, so then you should also be able to make it afterwards, just like by Gare. If you told me bracha always had to be the before, then I understand. But now you tell me it can be in the middle. Once you tell me it can be in the middle, I say it can be at the end also. I mean, you have to explain this. This doesn't exactly follow, right? And just like by ger, just like by tefillah, by the mitzvah. First of all, you're mixing up, and that's a bracha of mitzvah. This is a bracha of zanan. They're not necessarily the same thing, but he's not whatever. He's equating.
So when they're saying if you can make it, who's saying if you can make it in the middle, then it should, then you can actually also make it at the end.
What Ravina's saying is that if you're telling me that it's perfectly logical to say it in the middle of your meal, so then you should, by the same logic, you should be able to make it at the end of your meal. Just like by a ger who goes in the mikveh, you can make the bracha after. But I'm saying is, no, I'll tell you why it's simple. Is no, the middle of your meal, because you're making it on the thing which you're about to eat. But at the end of your meal, it's the end of your meal, it's all over. So what kind of kasha, you know, what is? And if you'll tell me, he's just saying it's because of the ger, so you can make it afterwards, then what does it have anything to do with the middle of the thing? Then just say straight. You should be able to make it at the end, because you see by ger. Like, why is this the follow-up to him saying that you're allowed to make it in the middle of the thing? Like, what was his original question, first of all? I mean, we have to understand altogether. What was the original question? If you already ate one bite, could you make the bracha? Why not? What was he was even thinking? And given his answer that, oh yeah, you could make it in the middle, then how does it follow now the question, oh, so you should also be able to make it at the end? How is that the follow-up? Right? But the Gemara ends up rejecting Ravina. Let's go further. So Gemara says, no, you can't compare the middle and the end. Okay? You can't compare, I'm sorry, you can't compare the ger making the bracha after his tefillah and the guy making the bracha after he eats. Velohi. It says, Hasla mei karagav lochazi. There, the reason why the ger couldn't make the bracha is because he wasn't fit to make a bracha. Right? Hacha mei karagav lochazi. Here, you could have made the bracha before you ate. Velohi idchi. And this is, you pushed it off. You were docha, the not on purpose, but you pushed the slide. So you lost your shot. It's too late. Too late. By the ger, you don't say it's too late. He had no choice. The only time he can do it is afterwards. But you should have done it before. Right? So therefore, you can't compare them. Right? Okay, what do you think about that?
So, you can't go back and make the bracha.
Correct, exactly. So it's like if you eat matzah without the mitzvah, without making a bracha, you can't make the bracha after you're done. Right? It's only because the ger, he didn't have the option. He couldn't. But if you could, if you could make it, then it's too late. You can't do it. But you could ask a question on that. Is it onafshach? Does brachas work after the thing or not? Could you make a bracha after the activity? Or can you not make a bracha after the activity? Let's say by mitzvah. How does a ger make a bracha after he goes to the mikvah? So you say, well, he couldn't make it before. Okay, so he can't make it. Too bad, so don't make it. But he didn't do. Let's say the guy's mute. He's not going to make a bracha before or after. So the ger can't do it. So the time for a bracha is only before. So it's only before.
Wait.
A second. Elamai will tell me. You tell me, well, after also counts. It's not as good, but after is also okay. But then a regular guy also should be able to make it after. If I forgot to make it before, I should be able to make it afterwards. Why is it only if I couldn't have made it, is it an am I allowed to? Right? What is it with couldn't have? Right, that's a kasha. Okay, so let's look at the rush. Yeah, we have a lot of problems here. Right, I'm just kind of throwing out a bunch of problems. We're going to have to take them up one at a time. But while we're here, let's just see the rush. So the rush is in the back. It's Eric Shvi'i, Os Lam and Gimel, Simon Lam and Gimel. So it's on page in the regular edition, it's on page Lam and Dal and Lam and Alaf. In the Daf Rosh. Okay? Lam and Dal and Alaf. Amar Rav, it's Os Lam and Gimel. Amar Rav Yehuda. Okay, let's see here. So fine. So I'm going to show them myself and self give myself on the Sadim of Earth. Tani had the ball on me, the pot on your sock, and had ten a ball on the mashkin. And the bottom made the little mark. So I'm going to sell them the mask. Pure shrink man, okay, maybe we're right now. The mashkin bowl on. The aim of Earth and Lame. So by the liquids, you swallow them, and you don't make a bracha. Mishum the idchi lahu mitoras mashkin. Ahem, mitoras mashkin. Because this drink, which is in your mouth, is, so to speak, pushed aside from the category of drinks, of liquids. The because it's not fit for anybody, for everybody to eat it, to drink it. It's not fit for everybody to drink it. Because once the food is in my mouth, no one else is going to want to drink it. Maybe I'll drink it, but no one else is going to drink it. So therefore, it's not really in the category of mashkin, of love drinks, of liquids. And hilkach, ein lahakbel al berchaso. So therefore, you don't have to be so careful. You have to be machbed about the bracha. Even though, even if it's possible to make it with difficulty, like you put it in the corner of your mouth, and right? You could kind of try to do it. But still, you don't have to. You don't have to be makbid about it, because since it's knocked out of the category of mashkin, so therefore it's okay. Okay? Below mashmahachi. So he says, you know, marash means you don't make a bracha. Right? How can you not make a bracha? Well, it's not really in the class of mashkin anyway, so you don't have to be so careful. It's funny, lashon, that you don't have to be makbid about it. I mean, don't say there's no brachas on things. Right? Like Chaim said, if you eat something which is inedible, you don't make a bracha. Sure, like medicine or something which isn't an ochle, you don't make a bracha. So if he's saying it's not really edible, it's not a food, it's not a drink, so then what does he mean? You don't have to be so careful about making the bracha. You don't make brachas on it.
He's not saying it's not edible, he's saying no one else would eat it.
So he's not saying it's inedible, he's just saying it's other people wouldn't eat it. But you would, so now fine. So then you chai to make a bracha, you're not chai to make a bracha. If you're saying you chai to make a bracha, then how are you swallowing it?
And
if you say not chayav to make a bracha, then don't say it's because you should not to be makbid. Just say you don't make a bracha on this thing. But hold on a second. Then he says, "Lo mashma hachi." The Rosh doesn't like it. The mashma bolan upoltan u'misakin akal ben yenechos yivarach aleihem. Right? It sounds like there's three different halachas. Sometimes you take it out of your mouth. Sometimes you put it to the side of your mouth, and sometimes you swallow it. And it seems like they're all the same thing. U'midid lo mimesit tzurkar ban olaf lo levarach. U'midid mimesit tir lo sakal tzarach levarach. Right? He's saying it would seem to be, according to the Rach, Rabbi Chanan, they're not analogous. Because the three cases are taking it out and then make a bracha. Moving it to the side of your mouth and then make a bracha. Swallow it, no bracha. He says they're not comparable. Right? They're not comparable. Right? So he doesn't like that just in terms of the Gemara semantics, the Gemara. But I think it's a bigger problem, even conceptually, is another problem. Is let's say by the stuff where the food, so you move it to the side of your mouth, right? Why move it to the side of your mouth?
So you can make a bracha,
right? Yeah, but why don't you say that most people wouldn't eat it? No one's gonna eat. They're not gonna eat my drink. They're not gonna eat my food, right? So why do I do that? If you tell me that you don't have to be makbid about the bracha because people aren't gonna eat it, so by food, the same logic. But by there, he says you don't make a bracha. You move it to the side of your mouth. And you make the bracha.
I have a question.
A bracha.
Okay, so by the solid, you can still make a bracha. So you're saying solid, you can still make a bracha. So might as well just do it.
So you're saying
liquid, if you do it, it's going to have to be like the etchak. It's going to be with difficulty.
Right.
So okay, right. It sounds like he's saying that, but the question is, but what's the idea? I mean, it comes back to the original question. I mean, is the thing still a food? And it's still a food, you still have to make a bracha, so then you should have to make a bracha on this thing. So what gives you a right? Give me a second. What gives you a right to swallow it? Right, because you have to make a bracha, look at your tzvalach. Because since other people wouldn't eat it, so therefore you have to be so careful. I mean, you have to make a bracha.
Right?
Unless you tell me you wouldn't be chayav to make a bracha, but then what about foods? You shouldn't be chayav to make a bracha, and then, you know. But then he's not really answering his question, because the big problem is how can you possibly eat this thing and not let it happen? You know, let's do it. So his answer is, don't worry, you don't have to be so careful, because it's not really, you know, a mashke for other people. So what? Okay, we'll go. No, I won't do it today. Okay, then he says like this. So the Rosh doesn't like it. So he says it was the Rosh is saying that by mashkim, since you can't swallow it, since you can't move it to the side, you're allowed to swallow it and then make the bracha. Right? The Gemara openly says you can't do that. Right? We just read that Gemara. Right? You can't do it. It's not comparable to the ger. Because right, that whole thing. He says, "V'lo dami was achal v'shachach v'lo birchajik gamar sudasa." Shein baruch. It's not similar to if you only remember at the end of your meal. The shiny hacha here is different. The nizkar shelo birch ve'od shemashkin bepiv. Here you remember that you didn't make a bracha while the liquid was still in your mouth. V'dome ketsas overlas yasam, and it's a little bit like overlas yasam. Mashin nizkar kodem l'birch that you remember before you swallow. Ela shelo yachal baruch, but you just couldn't make the bracha then. Okay, so saying is really, you wanted to make the bracha beforehand, and you remembered to make the bracha beforehand, but you just couldn't. So then you're allowed to do it. And now it becomes comparable to like the ger. You couldn't do it beforehand. So he says it's similar to the overlas yasam, kind of like overlas yasam. We don't understand this by the ger how it works, right? But it's kind of saying is like, why if you finish your meal, you could have made the bracha beforehand, you just didn't. So that's it. It's too late. But here you can't make it because when you remember and you want to do it. So then you can't. You don't have that option. Option is no longer there. So but you want to, so then you do it afterwards. The question is, what's the Sephara for this thing? Similar to Asiyat Suman, it's kind of, right? What's the...
What do you mean similar? I mean, he's not making a bracha.
No, he does. He doesn't make a bracha. The Rosh says you make a bracha after you finish.
Oh, for
the... So,
yeah, for liquid. You make a bracha after you finish. You swallow it, and then you make a bracha. How? Because you really, since you wanted to make it before and you just couldn't, so now it's similar to Asiyat Suman, like it's Asiyat Suman.
So...
Seems like
yeah, like how does that work exactly? Because I think about it before I swallow it, and therefore it's like I want to make the bracha. Like, and it just sounds like who cares? And I always have, there's always a step where I, right before I swallow it, and it's in my mouth. Like, what's how is this thing working exactly? Because I think about it, and therefore, right? What's the mechanism? Like, I want to make a bracha, and therefore it's similar to Asiyat Suman. The whole thing is funny. I mean, you could have made a bracha beforehand, so, but now at that moment where you freeze frame and now you think about it, now Yeah. Okay, this is it basically. There's one other thing, is the Ravid says, one of the Shita, if you look at the Ravid, he says that you could make a bracha because really you're not allowed to make a bracha. Well, the Ravid holds it, you chayiv, if you, with by liquid, if you don't have, if you have other liquid, you have to spit it out. This is what brings it down, my God brings it down. That if you have another drink, you should just have to spit out. And it doesn't seem like everyone was told by that.
He says, what if the drink is not the same bracha, though?
He says, you have to spit the thing out. And then he says, but I, so then what's the halacha? Like Gemara says, you swallow it. He says, it means if you don't have another drink, so he says that they matered you, because normally you have to spit it out, so then you can say the bracha. But here, you're not going to say the bracha anyways. Even if you swallow, if you spit it out, you're not going to say the bracha, because you don't have any drink left. So therefore, they matered you just to swallow. That's why you don't just go on. So at some point we're going to have to take him up also. He means the same bracha, presumably. Yeah. Alrighty, so we got a lot of problems here. Okay, we got a lot of problems here. I mean, this is kind of like a quick, run through of all the problems. We're going to have to go back and take everything up slowly. Right? And I guess the first thing we should do is read through the Gemara. Right, what are the steps in the Gemara? Forget the Rishonim for now. I just mentioned them. But when we go through the Gemara, the steps. This question, what's this question? Do you make the bracha in the middle of the eating? Why would I not make it? And then, given that I do, why is he then saying, what about the end? What's a comparison to Gera? I think we should take it, work through the Gemara, and then get to the Shonar afterwards. Okay? Okay, so again, if you're on the table, we're not going to have shit tomorrow on Tuesday, but we should pick up on Wednesday.